It is the silent night. His arrival goes all unnoticed. But something absolutely momentous has happened. Inconceivable, really. Yet it has happened. Beautiful how all this was pointed out in prophecy in the Book of Wisdom, where it says, addressing God, "For when peaceful stillness compassed everything, and the night in its swift course was half spent, your all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne bounded into the doomed land." Doomed should be understood in two senses in this text. The Lord comes because the land is doomed, and so he arrives to help. But his coming also spells doom for the land into which he comes. For he arrives quietly and unnoticed within the captured territory that Satan holds in his grip through sin and death. Luke's gospel, which we heard just now proclaimed, also describes this remarkably quiet moment within what is otherwise quite a lot of commotion in a few short verses. The great Caesar Augustus has the whole world on the move in obedience to his decree. Whatever the emperor decreed was called good news just because he said it. That's pure imperial propaganda, of course. But that's how language gets toyed with by world rulers. Oh, yes. Augustus fashioned himself the ruler of the whole world. And he was flexing this fact by requiring a census of all. But in the midst of this movement in every direction for the census, in fact, a higher providence is guiding a young and special couple named Joseph and Mary to a specially designated place in fulfillment of prophecy. There's further excitement in the story that Luke is telling, but before he utters his remark, before this, he utters remarkably quiet and just a few words. Earlier we had been told that Mary was with child. And now he simply says, she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. It is the silent night, the holy night. There is only Joseph, Mary, and the child. Elsewhere, the whole world is bustling, and Bethlehem's inns are packed, and in this quiet scene, the most important thing that has heretofore ever happened on earth is taking place silently and all unnoticed. A baby outside the city walls, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Matthew's gospel, the only other gospel that speaks of the birth of Jesus, is even quieter than this. All it says of the birth itself is, Joseph had no relations with Mary until she bore a son. and he named him Jesus. These quiet, these sparse descriptions are somehow part of the point, part of the message, and we can only receive it in a quiet place within ourselves. Certainly a reason to cultivate silence, a reason to enter into the holy night. I say it is momentous what is happening. Nothing greater or more important than this has ever happened heretofore on earth. What is it that takes place in such deep silence, in such obscurity? What it is mysteriously revealed in the entrance song we sang as the ministers entered the sanctuary. In holy splendor, before the day star, I have begotten you. This is Psalm 2. But that text, an oracle originally uttered by God to Israel's king, is seen now as a prophecy of this moment. And it describes the child born of Mary as the one whom God the Father begets. He begets him now in time, but the mystery grows deeper, for the one begotten now in time was eternally begotten of the Father before all the ages. That one is here now in very flesh. That is the child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That we sang it as our song means that this event, this begetting, invades our space now. Elsewhere, a rather more spectacular scene is unfolding. It has to do with this quiet scene that remains wrapped in peaceful stillness. But in the elsewhere, an angel, just one, makes a stunning appearance to, of all people, some shepherds. I say of all people because shepherds at that time were the lowermost rungs of society, and it wasn't expected that an angel would appear to such as these. But most of what the true God does is unexpected. The shepherds themselves were certainly not expecting it, and the text tells us that they were struck with great fear. The angel delivers a vital and precise interpretation of the quiet scene of the newborn babe. The angel declares, "Behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy for all the people." So much for Caesar's good news and him being in charge of all the people. And then the angel continues, "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord." Ah, this is the divinely sanctioned interpretation of the birth that we needed. Three titles are applied to the child that explains who he is: Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Two of these titles had been misappropriated by Caesar Augustus, Savior and Lord. But no, Jesus is the only Savior and Lord, and he is Israel's Messiah, who is now for all the people. The angel finishes his message by making certain that the shepherds, and we who are hearing the story, are clear about whom the angel is speaking. He says, "And this will be a sign for you. you will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And lest the shepherds be in any doubt about this one angel's message, suddenly the whole sky is filled with a multitude of angels singing and praising God, and the song can only be about one thing: the joy that God is acting on behalf of the whole of humanity, and that this joy is meant for everyone. They praise God for this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The story does not end there, though what we heard tonight does, but the story continues with a response from the shepherds. This is the gospel text that the church reads in the Christmas Mass at dawn, but I'll remind you of it now briefly. Luke tells us that the angels went away to heaven again. It's quiet again. And the shepherds decide to go see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us, they say. They go in haste. They are excited. And they see the sign. They found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. That was the sign. They see it. They understand now the angel's message. And they immediately started to tell others, all of whom were amazed. They tell Mary and Joseph too, for they were not in the place of the angelic appearance. And we are told pointedly by the evangelist that Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. This image of Mary pondering in her heart brings us back into the silent night. She is an image of the church and an example for us in her silent pondering. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone. This same quiet, unobtrusive coming of the Son of God into our midst happens all the time for us, actually. It is so unobtrusive that we may fail to notice. But if so, this feast is given to us to rectify that. The Eucharist that we celebrate each day is this same quiet coming with all the same characteristics. For those who do not know, for those who do not believe, the celebration of the Eucharist looks like nothing at all. And fair enough. The priest but gently stretches out his hands over the gifts of bread and wine and beseeches the Father to send the Holy Spirit for their transformation. Then he picks up bread, and afterwards wine, and quietly says the words of Jesus over them: "This is my body, this is my blood." And the transformation is worked. It is the mystery of faith. The Son comes in the name of the Lord. The eternally begotten Son is present to us in his body and blood. It is quiet, all unnoticed by the bustling world. But we are here. We know what it means. We ponder it in our hearts. It is momentous, inconceivable, really. And yet here he is, in this way, in this form. He lies on our altar, as if in a manger. For after all, a manger is a food trough for animals. But now in this humble place, he lies as living bread for us who believe. And the manger made of wood, and the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, these are prophecies of the wood of the cross and the swaddling clothes of Jesus' burial. The swaddling clothes are left behind in the tomb from which Jesus rises. And it is as risen and ascended Lord that he feeds us with his body and blood, born this night in Bethlehem. Angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, are with us around the altar, adoring him now in his presence to us. So you see, here it is the silent night. Here it is the holy night. All is calm. All is bright.